Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday said tomorrow. So just do it! Face your dreams! I'm screwed!
I can see your wiggles. Can you see my wiggles?
No, my wiggles aren't here, but that's good. You can hear me and see my wiggles. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Cool. Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about sound effects. I'm Delphina. I use she, her pronouns, and I make the webcomic Zombulous.
And I'm Crispy. I use she, they pronouns, and I make the webcomics Ghost Junk Sickness and Lunar Blight.
Okay, so sound effects are a classic in comics for a reason. We have a flat, noiseless page, and sometimes we want to give it a noise or two. There are all kinds of approaches to integrating sound effects depending on the mood of the scene, so finding ways that work with your webcomic making process is an exercise that can really make your story more immersive. So Crispy and I are here to talk about that. It's just a very interesting thing because people approach it in so many different ways. And I'm just going to throw it to you, Crispy. How do you use sound effects in your own work? And what have you seen around that you really like?
So I, like many people, have grown up reading manga. And the sound effects that they use are absolutely, like, gorgeous. And they're integrated in the page so beautifully. And it really adds to the page. So that was something that always stuck in my brain when, you know, incorporating that stuff. And to also kind of make sure that it existed in our comics, too. Because I think everybody obviously is going to have a personal preference. And a lot of times when I talk about this in spaces with other comic creators, there's kind of a divide with people who are just like, yeah, like sound effects, woo! And then some people are like, oh, I hate them when they're in comics. And I always want to just unpack it. I'm like, what is the hate? Like, why do you feel this way so strongly towards them? Or why do you love them so much? So I'm going to be speaking on the love them thing, because I love sound effects. I think that they add to that because of how the comic is. The mediums kind of require certain things to give you cues as to what's happening, and things that are happening don't necessarily need them. Like, you can subverse it. It's cool. Sound effects can add to the work. So I use, obviously, Ghost Junk Sickness and Lunar Blight are both kind of more action focused. So, you know, automatically I'm like, heck yes, put in those sound effects kind of characters or, you know, artistic little doubles that kind of enhance the scene. So sound effects in general are going to be, they can be a couple letters, they can be onomatopoeia, they can be a lot of things. And growing up on manga, like, a lot of them come from, like, just having those characters on pages that, you know, are also describing the sound. But of course, as an English reader, seeing that, you're like, oh my god, like, it's just like a cool drawing that's enhancing the other drawing. So I think seeing that, and then seeing it with English, when people are like, kablam or whatever, I think that's where the divide comes from a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. And I see it on social media too, when people talk about sound effects, they're just like, like, you know, you could do it in manga, but as soon as it does it in English comics, like, it looks so bad. And I'm like, but it doesn't always have to look bad. And I disagree with that statement too.
No, there is a divide. There is a strong divide. And I do wonder if it's Eastern versus Western comics, because there is a lot of emphasis on calligraphy and brushwork and stuff in the Japanese language and in the Korean language. And so you're able to kind of get that artistry into the sound effects that you're using versus Western style. Sometimes they have these outlines or the gradient effects that make them look more sticker-like, mm-hmm. You just kind of stuck a little guy back there. And maybe that's more like Cape Comics inspired. You know, the aesthetic, the classic 1950s, 1960s sort of comic book American style where it's all superhero and they had this very punchy look. And so we're used to it. We're saturated in it when we're in a Western audience, and we're looking at something kind of new and a different approach when we're looking at something that's more manga inspired.
Yep, absolutely. That, I think, is exactly where the divide comes from when people see like the aesthetic that don't resonate with them, and then they're automatically like, well, you know, when it comes to that, I'm reading it, say, Kablam or Boom or whatever, and it's just, it's taking me out of the moment. It's just taking me out. But I'm here to tell you, my little friend, that it's how you incorporate it into your comic that makes it stick out, because there is bad sound effects in manga that is just like, wow, that's distracting. You know, it's just, it depends on how it is incorporated. One of the really good example that I like to kind of take from, and it's something that did inspire my co-creator and I making the works that we do, is how Scott Pilgrim puts sound effects in the comics that they create, because there's going to be like English words that they put in, but like having that, you know, the manga style, you know, the roots from that and how it's incorporated, I'm just like, it looks gorgeous. It looks like it makes sense, because we have, you know, this kind of beautiful mesh with both, you know, the English language and doing a lot of things that they do with how manga do the sound effects. And, you know, one example is when you have like an action scene and, you know, you have like action lines or something like that, and a character's punching through. And a lot of times people will be like, okay, now I have to add a sound effect. It's going to be like punch or whatever. And, you know, it looks dumb. Like, it looks like I did just put a sticker on it and this guy is just using his fist to punch a guy. And it's just like, okay. But, you know, for the Scott Pilgrim kind of example, is that it goes with the action lines. It's matching the inks that are put down on the page, so it looks like it's cohesive with it. So the sound effect isn't necessarily jumping out at you, it's incorporated. And I think that's the biggest thing when we're talking about using sound effects in our work. And that's the thing that we do a lot in Ghost Young Sickness and Lunar Blight, especially when it's like fight scenes, because that's a lot of times where sound effects, to me, really belong, because you want that extra impact or echo on the page. It's like, okay. And then to subvert it could also be very impactful too. But when there's an action scene, you know, I want to copy what line art is on the page and stuff like that. So a little bit of a lore drop with me, yeah, too, is that because the pages that we create are traditional, I was trying to figure out how to incorporate sound effects into the work without butchering the page and being like, I hate it. So what I used to do is I used to take transparency paper and use like dry erase markers and try to draw on top of that with the inks that are laid down and see, okay, where does it fit? And then I can transfer that onto the page so that it's non-obstructive and I have a place to kind of work. Now I've grown from there where, you know, we scan the pages in and we do the sound effects specifically digitally just so it doesn't obscure the lettering and whatnot. Because that's another thing to consider, is leaving space for other things that are important in the comic panel. But sound effects, you know, they have their own spot. So being a little cautious about that is key.
Yeah, the transparency thing sounds so interesting. I never thought to do that, but it definitely makes sense to have, if you're not sure where to put it, or if you're working traditionally and you're trying to like rearrange things, then you can just slide it around and mm-hmm. see what happens. That's a great tactic, I think. For me in Sombulus, I am deeply inconsistent, because there are some times when I'm just like, I plan it out, I have it all set up, and so I know, okay, this is going to be a big magic explosion, this is going to be a big magic spell, and I'm going to make space for that, and I'm going to hand draw things out in my own handwriting and just kind of follow the flow of just a nice kind of swoopy thing. If you've read Sombulus and you've seen like kind of the magic effects that happen, there are these kind of yellow strand sort of things with runes on them, so a lot of my sound effects are very flowy. They try to emulate that arc and kind of use a Doppler effect, I guess, where you start the letters very small and then you kind of make them larger to show the increase in volume, right? So that's when I'm at my best. When I'm not, it's usually because I thought to add it later and I'm just using the same text that I use with my word bubbles. So it's a typed font. Maybe I slant it a little bit and I put it next to it and I try to leave room, but sometimes it needs like an outliner or a drop shadow. And if I'm at the point where it needs an outline or drop shadow to be seen, that's usually an indicator that it's probably, I didn't make my composition properly and I didn't really leave the room for that. In a perfect world where I had infinite time, I might go back and I change that up. But if I'm low on buffer or I'm not really feeling it, sometimes I will just kind of say, you know what, that's good enough, it's fine, whatever, gets the point across. There's a couple different ways to approach it depending on how important you think it is to the scene. And at some point with webcomics, I do feel like you have to budget your energy and decide where you want to put it. So sometimes sound effects aren't as high on the list as I want them to be, but I'm doing my best.
That's interesting, though, because I always see the conversations. I'm seeing them now, which is great. People are talking about like composition in their panels and stuff like that. And they're like, okay, make sure to leave space for the dialogue. Make sure that when your thumbs are thumbing, you leave space for the dialogue and blah, 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 blah. Like, well, that's nice. I love that. I think that's great because, you know, you don't want someone to run into being like, oh, okay, like I had like a whole poem in this poem. No longer fits in this panel that I put in.
So, oh gosh.
Shout out to the poem people who wanted that. And understanding cutting dialogue and thumbnailing. That should be an episode. But anyway, so there is that. But to me, the sound effect simp, I think that should also be considered if that is something that is part of your comic. If you have usually an action comic, but it can exist for other comics, sound effects are everywhere. Every genre. I'm just going to use action because that's just an easy one for everybody to kind of understand. But if we're having something that is like, okay, you know, I'm going to have an action comic and I do have sound effects, I'm inspired by XYZ works that use them, incorporate them in their work, and then I'm going to go. I don't think it's a good idea to leave them to the last kind of step things where it's like, okay, everything is rendered, everything is this and that, and I have this, and then the sound effects are last. I think I take a little... Not that they can't be the last step, but the last thing you think of is what I'm more so saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of comics where sound effects look quote-unquote slapped on. Like, I keep thinking of the sticker thing because I'm like, it's so right. I do have a pack of Marvel sticker things that got as like a kid, like, you know, like it's got Captain America and the Hulk and whatever, and of course they have like the little kablam kablimo, and I'm like, it looks exactly like that.
It is.
And it does not complement the art, and it looks like a distraction. And I think that's the biggest pitfall kind of go into. And I noticed that I'm creeping into the second question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I feel like that's a thing too. Like, there's that direction and there's also the direction where you're hyper afraid of that. So you make your sound effects very understated. You maybe add a transparency. You make them very small. You use a very light line weight variation. So it's just like, it's back there. It's a little whisper in the wind. And that's okay if you are actually trying to convey a whisper in the wind. But if you are trying to do something else, if you're like, you know, it's a loud train passing by or something, then you can make the decision to not include the sound effect if the train isn't the point. But pick one or the other. I feel like if you're going to make the loud train the point, then go ahead and compose that panel in a way so that you can really see that the noise that the train is making. But if that's not the point, if you're just having a quiet introspective moment where someone's stepping off the train and you're seeing the train and you're like, well, trains make noise, so I guess I have to have a noise here. That's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You can omit that. And I think that touches on a lot of what you were saying, Crispy, about subverting things.
Yeah.
About you see something, you know it should make a noise. If you look at it, you know it should make a noise, but you're not including that noise because you want that quiet moment. And that's a deliberate choice. So not including sound effects where you think they should be can also be extremely effective.
I often think of, and I've probably said this a bunch of times on Screen Tones, my favorite manga is the Trigun series. And I love how they do that because it is a high action comic, but of course there's a lot of like emotional moments where they have silence, and the silence is so good. And that's where it is so effective, when you have a comic that is very jam packed with pew pew pew. And then when the characters just have a moment, when a character passes, it's like, oh, the silence that they use, the lack of sound effects was so evident and so impactful because of those decisions. And of course, like, all of our comics are not going to be like, oh, okay, you have to do every scene like this beat by beat, but understanding how someone's going to read this is important, and how you're going to do that impact because of how comics are as a medium. Obviously, well, no, I can't say that. I was going to say, obviously, they don't have sound. There are comics that have sound and can incorporate them because, you know, comics on the web are awesome and they are unstoppable. They can do anything.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, you have these different kind of methods to enhance that reading experience. And I think that that's what sound effects can do for it. Like, not only are they going to be a kablam when you need a kablam, but they're going to leave different sort of sound effects. Even for horror, the horror genre is so great for using that. And some sound effects that are used in horror comics, with how they are written out too, freak me the heck out. It's just certain words that I'm like, I just don't want a kergurgle beside this image. It's upsetting in a great way.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. One thing that gets me too when I'm reading something that's very tense, maybe horror, maybe drama, or and I see like a heartbeat, like a thump, 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 thump. And it's like sometimes the artist will use it in the background as like the background sort of fill in the panel, and the font gets smaller or the font gets larger depending on how that heartbeat sort of thing is happening, and that can be very impactful. Contrast that with, you know, the Doki Doki sort of romance manga. They also use the heartbeat thing, right? Sometimes where it's like, I saw the cute boy. And so same sound effect, same like heartbeat, but completely different based on the fonts you choose, the breathing room you give it, if it's kind of flowy, if it's kind of noisy in the background. There's just so much variation. It's just so cool to see.
Yep. It's interesting because, like, I think of, you know, laying sound effects out, obviously, by how the page is read too. Like, you know, you have your bubbles and you're like, okay, I'm gonna start left to right or right to left, depending on how you write. And, you know, where is the eye gonna follow? And I think that it's great when you can incorporate sound effects that's catching the eye to follow a certain point in the page too. Like, I'm like, oh, genius. I love it when that happens. And it's a piece of art as well to incorporate into your comic page. I don't think everybody's got it. I'm not gonna be pressuring you to do some sound effects, but I will enjoy it when I see a good sound effect. It makes me so happy when it's directly incorporated in the art too. Like when there's an explosion and like the sound effects in like cloud of the explosion or anything like that, or, you know, some scary horror thing where it's not like silly dripping in blood, unless it's supposed to be. But yeah, having something like that kind of appear in some kind of blood splatter or anything like that, like just incorporated so nicely that you're like, oh, I just like the considerations that are being put into the composition here with sound effects.
Yes, yes, for sure. And I feel like we're saying a lot like, oh, well, not like this, unless you want it to be.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many ways, like for every rule you put down about like, well, you can't do that, there is somebody who is doing that and they're doing it very well. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, you know what? I don't know that anything's off the table, but everything has an impact. Everything, every choice that you make has a consequence in comics. So when you're like, you have a scene maybe where you're expecting sound effects and there aren't any, and you're adding some sort of distance or something between the character and what's happening on the page, that can be a good thing. That could be a bad thing. That could be very disengaging depending on where you're using it. So I guess that's always the question about what you're going to be doing with it and what you're trying to convey with it, because there's so many different ways to do it. I don't know.
That's the thing that I think is so hard to talk about sound effects, especially when you talk about it in like a group of other creators being like, I hate sound effects and how do I make it look better, blah, 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 and getting frustrated or anything like that. There is no specific one way to do it, but I know that this is kind of frustrating advice, because you probably hear it a lot, but it is so important to look at comics that you enjoy and just try to see how they are incorporating things that you want to try out, and even copying them. You're allowed to do that. You are allowed to do that and see how it's translating into your work. Obviously, a one-to-one is not going to help, but like, style really dictates what will work with your comic. Now, I know that I'm probably going to be roasted and toasted because like a lot of my comic is in black and white. The majority of it is in black and white because I love it. But the first 30 pages of Ghost Junk Sickness, and we have done this nod to manga that would print like the first 3 or 4 pages of each new volume in color. So we did that too.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that because I have done colored sound effects as well, and to match them with the scene and the style of the art is just really important. And I think like a piece of advice for that, when people are like, okay, how do I get it to match, is you don't have to sit there on a font website forever and try to match something that is your comics vibes. Because what I have learned from doing sound effects and whatnot is that your sound effects are going to vary with what you need. Like a punch might not be the same text that you want for a Doki Doki, you know, having right. flutters, and maybe you don't want that big thick font that you downloaded to be like Doki Doki.
I like you.
That's what it's coming across as, is, you know, when you read comics, like, what does reading sound effects sound like to you? Do you read them out? Do you go like, bam? Or are you like, oh, okay, like, this is a heavy punch because that is included? Like,
mm-hmm.
Tell me this, Delphi. How do you read sound effects? I want to know.
I don't think I use words. I'm more like or you know, just making noises at myself, sort of. And that can be hard. That's part of the challenge for me too, because I'm not thinking in like English letters. Like, how do I convey what I'm saying? And I run into this all the time with Zombulus, because it's magic. I don't know what magic sounds like. There isn't magic in my life, except on a metaphorical level. So I can't really tell what this should sound like. So I have this like shh that I use mm-hmm. a lot. And that's how I say it in my head. I write it S-H-A-A-A-A-A-A, just going off the page. But there's also like radio interference that's kind of this. And so that's going to be like K-G-H-G-H-G-H, something like that. So finding the onomatopoeias is tricky sometimes. I've also seen places, especially in strip format or comics that are more comedy and less realism, where they just describe the mundane thing, like, instead of having some sort of onomatopoeia. So there, if somebody is like going to sleep, they don't write ZZZZ to indicate snoring or whatever. They write sleeping. Sleeping. And it's like, I don't think that works for all contexts, but I think if you're already going for something a little more comedic and a little more tongue-in-cheek, and especially if your art style is simplified enough where like, maybe it's not entirely obvious that they're falling asleep. I think that's a different problem, maybe. But it can be effective in these situations where you have this little guy with a blank stare and you're trying to convey the silence because he has 2 brain cells and he has no idea what's going on. And you just write, no idea what's going on. It's like, is that a sound effect? No. But did it work in the context? Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great point about elevating a scene or detracting from it too, and being clear with what you've drawn and what you want to convey. Like, I know comics are just frustrating with that because, you know, so many things can happen. But I think that is when it's serious, when it is a joke, it is so hilarious when it's just like, yeah, this guy's sleeping, or yeah, this guy's picking up a pen or whatever. And they indicate that. It's just, yeah, that could be absolutely great. But I think that when I don't know what the heck is going on in a page where, like, a thing is, I don't know, a boulder is rolling, but it looks like just, I don't even know. Like, it just looks like lines, and it just says rolling or something. And there's no indication that a boulder came from any other place. Like, I think you're going to run into stuff when you're like, okay, I don't want to draw a boulder rolling, but I'm going to write rolling because, you know, F that boulder. I don't want to draw it. And
yeah. I think that's where you run it. Like, I think that's where motion lines can help you sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I know manga is super big on those, just having those things. Western comics too, but being able to show that. But to your point, at some point you do need the clarity. You do need clear silhouettes. You need some sort of things. And sound effect isn't going to be a band-aid for that. Not forever. Like, every once in a while. But you can't say, well, if I can't draw this boulder, I'll just say boulder and I'll put a little arrow next to it. It'll be fine. We'll call it a day. It's like, you're not going to be able to get away with that forever, I don't think.
It's so funny. I'm definitely calling out my younger self because I have examples. I have examples of this. I will find them. I will find these examples of me not wanting to draw a thing. And
yes,
it used to be like you would put like a label on it being like, I don't want to draw a frog. So it's like a square that says frog and it has like this little curly line leading to this horribly drawn thing. And I used to do that and I'm like, I mean, it's funny, but not in a scene where I need to be serious and I'm like, this is a gun. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. I think we've all done that. And it's hard because you don't automatically know how to draw a fox. Frogs or trains or horses or anything like that. So you're just like, okay, well, I need to get on with my story and I don't want to like pause right here and now because I'm in the groove and I'm drawing all these things and I'll just do something silly. But yeah, it's not going to work forever. That's all I'm saying. So putting the work in is going to, it's all connected, man. I don't know. We started talking about sound effect. But yeah, I do feel like there are so many things that I've learned, and especially to your point, when I look at other works that I admire and when I see things that are really, really cool, there's some people doing some really cool stuff out there. And I love looking at, I'm going to call out Clam because Phantom Marine's sound effects are really cool. Mm-hmm. I love when they kind of like butt up against the border of the page. So it kind of looks like they could expand forever if only the page were bigger, but they're just kind of up there and maybe repeating in the background or something. I think that can be very effective and one of my favorite things to look at. I really love how when you use like sound effects as backgrounds behind the characters, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yeah, there's so many cool things, like annoying things too, like when someone is talking and then a sound effect interrupts their speech. So you have the speech bubble.
Yes.
But then, like, there's this pointy thing jutting into it or covering up the tail end of what they were going to say. That's pretty cool, too. Oh, gosh, I could go on forever. Do you have any other favorites, Crispy?
I still really like it when it's incorporated in the art. And I think that's a really great shout out to how Clam does it in Phantom Marine 2. And I think one of the things that I want to, like, point at with a big realistic finger is that I like that it's incorporated so heavily into the art, and that I think that's always my biggest thing, where it just looks so natural and the composition and the art, everything is taken into consideration and it just enhances it. I mean, you're not going to read it. You're not going to be like, okay, time to flip to the page. And I'm going to like, okay, the sound effect is, I'm sorry. Rah! Like, like that. I'm not being like, okay, I have to read the raw first and then I'll read that dialogue. Like, I'm not like that. But it's interacting with how you're reading it, being like, mm-hmm. oh my God, there's an indication that they're screaming. This is scary. Oh my gosh, there's screaming in the background. And then, of course, I'm going to read the dialogue and look at the faces and stuff like that. Like, it's the indication. It's the implication. So when people come in being like, oh my God, like, what? I need, like, a sound effect help. Like, oh my God. It's really good to go back to just the noises that you want to make and the implication that you want to make, too. Because sometimes yes. you do want to be like, and other times you want to be like, ba-bump. Like, you want to spell it out because it's like, okay, this is the association with this kind of sound or whatever. Like, I want you to hear a horrible noise with this picture for a horror picture. Or you could just do something unsettling where it's just like, I'm gonna use the word kolulimpa, and it's just this very intense picture of tingle, and it's like and it's
not the direction I thought I was thinking this is gonna
exactly
go.
Subversive. So you have these two, like, ooh, like, that's such a happy sounding word, and then it's just intense hatched
yeah.
face in this darkness. So that's what I really love. I love when people get really subversive with it, and I love when they incorporate it in ways that I'm like, this is just enhancing my experience, and I'm enjoying that a lot.
It's about tone, it's about mood, it's about kind of like making that sort of feeling behind the art where you're feeling like more tense or more like, what the f- is this? Yeah. Why is Tingle? Why is Tingle doing this? So I feel like I also think back to Katamari Damacy, which has a very cute art style, but then you have this kind of guy who's looming over everybody, and it's like, this guy's intense, mm-hmm. man. He would have some very strong sound effects if this was not a video game. And I guess, like, they actually have audio in video games. You kind of mentioned it earlier, but we can do sound things. I know people do video segments or something. You can't always depend on people having on their sound, especially since a lot of people are reading on their phones or whatever, so it's not always possible to incorporate that, but that can always set a cool tone as well if you have that kind of readership who will go into, you know, yeah, I'll watch that video, yeah, I'll put that song on or whatever, and just enhance the mood. I love that.
It does. And I think, as someone who is an absolute fan of sound effects, one of the things that kind of bums me out is when people are so adverse to them that me as a reader, it detracts from the work. Not because I'm like, I'm expecting to have some sound effects here, but because the way the art is and the way that the dialogue is and the way that the scene is playing out, I'm just like, man, I don't know the mood here. I don't know what the stage is. I don't know what
yes.
kind of like what I'm supposed to be hearing, because I hear when I read stuff, like, you know, you have your own way that a character sounds or anything like that. And like what is going on the page is kind of enhancing how you're doing that and appreciating the page. So when I'm seeing like big intense fighting happening and there's like no sound effects, like I'm just imagining slaps. Like I'm hearing slaps. I'm hearing a bunch of slapping noises or some, maybe I'm not. I'm just, it's like silence, but in the wrong way. And like, it could be so cool. This is me just, you know, pumping in the sound effects propaganda, mm-hmm. but it could be so cool if your comic is so loud and then you're like, okay, now there's going to be a fight scene and there's no sound effects. Like after having such loudness and then silence, I'm like, that would just stick in my brain forever. I'd be like, do you remember when they removed all the sound effects for that one fighting scene? And it was just like silence. Like I can imagine nothing. And it was so insane. Ah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the same principle as when you have a comic that's mostly has words on it because people are having dialogue. And then you have the one page where nobody yes. says anything.
Yeah.
And things are still happening, but nobody says anything. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, something is deeply, I am feeling a certain way about this. It's either like a montage or a quiet moment where the characters are too sad to speak or something like that. But it's the same principle, right? If you use them around in other places, when you take them away, like that that's going to say something. Mm-hmm. That's going to say something so cool. And I don't think you have to have sound effects in your comic to be able to evoke that emotion, but they're a good tool for it. And they're very easy to implement if you put in the practice and you do your research and look around at other things. I know we talked about manga inspired things. If the kind of more sticker or superhero like treatments aren't your thing, I do want to say though, if we are making like left to right reading comics, I've noticed a lot in manga, sometimes the characters will go down because that is a natural reading mm-hmm. order in Japanese. So sometimes that doesn't entirely transfer over to a Western audience if you're using the English language, because we don't always read down. There's ways to make it work, for sure. That's a thing that I see sometimes, where maybe we're trying to copy that style, maybe we're trying to get that mood across because we really like seeing it in the manga that we're reading, but there is a little bit of adaption to make sure that it's reading in the correct order for a Western audience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And like you said, it's a tool. It is definitely something to potentially enhance your reading experience. And you can use the sound effects to lead the eye somewhere interesting in the page, too. It doesn't have to be just a character speaking and you're like, oh, this is the next panel, I'm going over there. Like, your sound effect could be doing something creepy in the corner and you're like, what's going on there? So it's just about using them in such interesting ways that could subvert or, you know, just like enhance a reading experience. And that goes from kind of any genre, because, you know, comics, because they're usually just that medium with the drawing and whatnot, and not usually accompanied by sound, but can, you know, we have these different techniques to evoke that stuff. And sound effects don't have to be just bingo bongo. They could be really weird things that make us think harder on the page.
It's true. So I'm just going to throw out, because we've talked about kind of what scenes they enhance and like how maybe not using them is pretty cool too. But for those people who are thinking about it, they're like, okay, you've convinced me, Crispy. I'm going to try to use sound effects as a tool, but I'm really having trouble doing so in a natural way that doesn't look like a treatment that I dislike. What is your advice to that person?
Hello. Welcome to sound effects.
We're so glad you're here.
So my advice is hand draw. Hand draw your sound effects, because there is no easier way to incorporate that into your art than to hand draw them. But wait, Crispy, I don't like doing typography. It's too hard. Don't worry. I got you. Because what, you know what we like in this house? We like tracing, because I like it when it's easy. So what you're going to do right now, Brenda, is that you're going to open up a canvas on whatever, or, you know, you're going to take a paper, because, you know, traditional artists, that we exist, and you're going to have some font that you really enjoy. You can just have a day and go on some font sites, Blambot and all of them, and you're going to search them out. You can just have normal fonts too. You can get some Times New Roman. No one's going to stop you. And make a
I'm going to stop
oh,
you.
Well, Delphi's going to stop you if you use Times New Roman.
But if you're fast, I can't catch you.
Keep that in mind. So you're going to make them big. And you're going to trace these mother heckers. You're going to trace them. You're going to do some outlines and make them say, like, you need to type up a word. Kablam, kablimo, gurgle, kaflunder. And type them out and just trace them. See how they are in your style. And you can just start tracing them. Trace them again, and you can see your handwriting kind of come out of these letters. And you could do that for everything. You can, you know, be like, okay, it's sound effect time. I'm gonna, you know, Times New Roman, kablam. I'm gonna slap it there. And maybe you could distort it a little bit. Maybe you can make a little curve, you know, with the tools that you have, like a liquify tool or Photoshop fancy curve thing. And, you know, you could do that. You could set it like that. And then just trace it over with the pen that you like, the pen that you've used to ink the page or the paint that you're using or anything like that. And then you can kind of start to see yourself come out. You can see that your style is there. You can see, like, oh, okay, like, that's how I write. You don't have to be like, oh my God, my actual writing is super crappy and I do that. You don't have to do that, Brenda. You don't have to suffer with the writing, the handwriting that you don't enjoy. You can trace stuff that still has you in it. Your DNA is there and it looks great. I have done that for comics when I'm just like, okay, like, I need to map this out and I'm gonna have this text, I'm gonna put this font there and it's gonna go bleh. And then, you know, I start to trace it and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I could see how it's mapped out and I could just futz around with it. You're not gonna get it perfect on the first go. You're gonna be like, this looks so like stiff and poop, but start to get loose with it. And you'll find as you continue to do that, practice makes perfect. You're gonna see like how you create sound effects come out. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be like, okay, this is what I prefer to do with sound effects and imitate what I like, the effect that I'm kind of going for. And also just help with that typography getting a little better. There's no problem with tracing, man. It looks great. Like, I think just embrace it. I think the other thing that I really enjoy is I've talked about it a little bit in the episode earlier, but when we have sound effects, the action lines kind of go with what's going on, go with the flow and imitate those same brush strokes that you're having for those action lines, or where you want, you know, the eye to end up, or how to compliment someone sneezing. It's going to shoot this way. It's going to go up that way. You know, the doki dokis are going to, you know, do other things. Like, you can have fun shapes with this and then keep in mind to hand draw them to incorporate it more into your art. Because, I mean, you can use Times New Roman and you can slap that on your art, but people are going to be like, wow, I mean, that's Times New Roman and it's slapped on your art. So, you know, I'm not going to stop you, but I do think that hand drawing is a really good, easy step to kind of get into it and practice a lot on it. And do a whole page of it. Like I said, open that canvas and just go crazy.
The thing I like about that advice too is because typography is an art in and of itself, letter spacing and how descenders work and ascenders work, like, that's all kind of mathematically calculated when people are making fonts. And so there are certain things where I'm trying to write things out by hand. I'm trying to do it and like, why are the letters so far apart here? And then I squish them together here. Mm-hmm. And like, gosh, I didn't keep things very consistent at all. And when you trace, that's going to be much more consistent. So you can kind of, if you're having that sort of problem, I feel like that's just a very good solution for that. Crispy mentioned Blambot. I also like Font Squirrel a lot. And you can just go on there, find some cool things that evoke different emotions and play with them. And I feel like that's just a great solution. I think for me too, when I'm trying to plan out where the sound effects are going to go, like, I've written out the actual dialogue and I know where that's going to go. I know where the character is going to go. I'm keeping those on different layers so I can slide them around as needed, crop out parts of my character or shrink the character or whatever. And then I go in and I draw little boxes where I want like some letters to go. And I plan out like, okay, I know I need a 5-letter sound effect here. So I'm going to draw 5 boxes. I'm going to arc them up in the direction that I want, and then I'll draw that in later. And then you can go in with like your either traced stuff or just hand letter it in. And I feel like that's a good way of planning for it in the thumbnail stage without having to get into the nitty-gritty of like, okay, I've got to find the font, I've got to find the treatment, because we're still thumbnailing at that point. So those are things that seem to work okay for me. I would just encourage you to not shy away from them. And if you need like a second pair of eyes or something, show a friend the version with sound effects and the version without sound mm-hmm. effects. Like, show them the entire page and say, do I need this? Is this adding anything? How does this make you feel? And does that change if I add the sound effect? And I think sometimes getting that outside perspective can be a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I 100% think that's great to show your peers your work And to always plug the Screen Tones Discord community, jump the heck in there, because it is functioning like workshop community. People love to talk about the process and whatnot, and they love to help out. We have an art shop talk and a writing shop talk. So if you're like, okay, what the heck does a squishing sound of a Beanie Baby sound like? Come on in. We're going to workshop together and figure
out. I feel like we've had that exact conversation in the Discord or something too, right? Like, seconding that recommendation, the Discord community is great. Everybody is very respectful, and we're all comic creators there, so everyone's going to have a little different perspective, and you might find something that works for you.
Mm-hmm. The last little piece that I will say, there is a comic book website for sound effects called comicbookfx.com, and it has a lot of cataloged sound effects from comics and examples that you can click on and see. A lot of them are Western, but it's great to know when you're trying to figure out what the sound of a Beanie Baby being squished sound like. Maybe, you know, seeing examples can kind of, you know, make something run in the brain to help out. So that one's a good little piece of a nice little resource for your sound effects journey.
Those are all great tips. I feel like reaching out and practicing are going to be your very best friends here. And I'm excited to see what you do with this very cool tool of sound effects. So with that, we'll call this a chicken salad Caesar wrap. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Delphina, and you can find my work Sombulus at sombulus.com.
And I'm Crispy. You can find my work at ghostjunksickness.com and lunarblight.com.
We also do sound effects on here, so we're just going to spend the rest of the episode making sound effects for you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Okay, beautiful. Yes. Thank you for listening to Screen Tones. For more webcomic wisdom, be sure to like and subscribe or follow on RSS so you never miss an episode. And if you're looking for even more fun stuff, join us on Patreon for secret bonus episodes, bloopers, and more. We super appreciate your support. Okay, that's it. Get back to your webcomics.